This is Books and Arts on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart. Well, now let's look at a novel that tackles the theme of the Australian bush. Lonely Girl from Australian singer Sarah Humphrey. Well, have you heard the term cli-fi? This stands for climate change fiction. I'm not sure the term will last, but I guess the idea will. There have always been novels about our relationship to the land, and stories are starting to emerge that trace disquiet about the weather as well. And one of these is from the Melbourne writer Alice Robinson, whose debut novel, Anchor Point, is set mostly in regional Victoria. There's a child at the centre of the story. Her name is Laura, and her anxiety and labour, she has to work awfully hard, Kate Evans tells me, really anchor this story. Alice Robinson is speaking here with Kate.
Your novel begins in a farm kitchen. Who are the players? Can you describe Kath first?
So Kath is the mother in the story, and she is kind of bohemian. She fancies herself an artist, and she's relatively disinterested in motherhood. I think I perceived her, the fact that she's got children, is kind of an accident or a misfortune for her. She really wants to just be making art. And living with her are her two daughters, Laura, who's 10, and Vic, who's 5, and her husband, Bruce, who couldn't be really more different from her. He's sort of a man of the land. He's a farmer. She's also a German migrant, whereas he's firmly, you know, from Australia. He's very Australian kind of farming man.
So is this a story of gender relations and domestic disharmony?
I think that's one strand of the story, certainly, and a kind of surprising strand for me to discover as I was writing the book, because as you may have gleaned from reading it, my interest going in was pretty much purely environmental. I wanted to write a book about climate change, and that was my concern at the time and continues to be. But, of course, fiction's really about people, so I had to find a way of turning my potentially didactic interest into a human interest story. And I think when you're writing about people, you're writing about families, relationships, and so there is that domestic element that is necessarily there, I think.
Because Kath is filled with immense frustration, bitterness even, leading to a huge amount of tension.
And I think part of that tension is perhaps universally felt when one has little children, you know, between the parents' own interests, the pressures of their work, their various works, and this kind of leftover work, which is the domestic work, the making the dinner, the doing the washing. You know, who does that work when both parents work in other ways? And part of the discord in that family is that the father, Bruce, doesn't appear to recognise the mother's work of art making as real work. You know, he perceives work outside, you know, chopping wood and moving, you know, the sheep and clearing the land as the real work. And he also has very conservative ideas about what she should be doing in the house, that she should be doing that domestic work.
So what does that tension mean for Kath's daughter, Laura?
So she perceives that tension acutely, as children do when they live with disharmony in a household, and feels responsible for, almost kind of in an unarticulated way, she feels responsible for smoothing things over between her parents. So she tries to step into Kath's shoes. She tries to do the things that Kath leaves undone so that Bruce, the father, won't get angry. And in a sense, she's trying to protect them both from each other, which, of course, is a bit of a folly when you're only a child. And it also means that she misses out a little bit on her childhood. You know, she's working very hard in a way that really no 10-year-old should have to.
Well, Laura is the focus of the book. She shoulders all the responsibility. How did you find her as a character?
Do you mean how do I relate to her?
Or how did you uncover and build her?
That's an interesting question. the kind of nuts and bolts answer would be that I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and she sort of emerged like a photograph developing from a negative, if you like, or a Polaroid kind of coming to the surface. Perhaps also I drew on parts of myself. My father still lives on part of the land where he grew up on as a child. He grew up on a sheep farm. And so he told me many stories about that life in which he did have to work quite hard as a child. You know, he had chores and a lot of his stories revolved around the labour that was done.
And there are a series of almost ambivalent relationships with the land or ways of engaging with it. And Bruce, the father in the story, he takes out his grief by conquering the land, stripping it bare. And in the novel, you see the ravages of that. But you're also quite sympathetic to him, I think.
Yeah, well, I think he is acting according to the knowledge that he possesses. He gets quite angry at one point in the story with Laura's kind of environmentalist greeny boyfriend. They have an altercation because their understandings differ so widely as to, you know, how this land should be cared for. So I do feel sympathetic towards him, even though the actions that he takes to sort of care for the land in the way that he knows how have pretty devastating consequences. And I think there's also, you know, for Laura, her ambivalence about the place. It's almost as though her life is charted from the get-go, because she's sort of stands to inherit this massive workload, but that workload, as I said, kind of is intermeshed with a belonging. So when she tries to move away, she risks losing this sense of place or this home or this belonging, but she also kind of unhooks herself from all that work as well. So she's sort of trapped, if you like. She can move away and be without the place and the work, but then she's unmoored from those things too.
And she is close friends with a local Aboriginal boy who knows the land she lives on, and there's a canoe tree there, for example. They're real allies. But she does seem to remain unsure about an Aboriginal claim to the land.
Absolutely, and I think it actually unsettles her to consider it, and that's probably why she doesn't, and in a way that perhaps many settler Australians feel a little bit anxious about what that might mean, the fact that these places that we call home, that we're very connected to in the way that Laura's connected to her place, might actually be somebody else's place in a much deeper and more long-standing way. And I think that's partly why she never really interrogates the idea of the canoe tree. You know, just the very thought that there was someone there before her is deeply unsettling to her.
Now, Laura ends up spending time in Sydney, and I'm speaking to you from Sydney, and you describe it as always raining. Why?
In some ways, I was taking liberties with the idea of the climatic changes we might experience as time goes on. So Laura's town, Kyrie, or the part of Victoria where she lives, a fictional part, it becomes increasingly dry. But I wanted to offset that with a very wet experience, which is both because so the rain that she experiences in Sydney is startling to her by comparison, because she's been living with deep drought for a long time. But in my sort of version of the timeline of the locations, Sydney does experience higher than average rainfall. But that's also an interesting kind of thing we're seeing happening, that, you know, one part of the world can be very dry, and just up the road, you know, another part can be extremely wet. These variances of climate that we are finding surprising, you know, are happening. And I wanted to be able to explore those very different responses to weather and different weather patterns.
Because while it's raining in Sydney, back on the farm there's fire and extreme weather.
Yeah.
But this did seem to me very strongly a novel about gender and domestic tensions, memory and secrets. But would you want to describe it as a climate change novel?
I am happy for it to be described as such, but I think all of the things that you're talking about are equally at the fore of the kind of the finished product. So I guess the climate aspect was what I went in with, and what emerged through the writing process were all the things that you're talking about as well. And I think that's natural and that's right in fiction, because as I was saying, you know, it's extremely hard to write a whole novel about simply about the landscape. It really has to be about people and those other concerns. And as we're finding, you know, in our contemporary experience, the landscape is really perhaps unfortunately at the bottom of the list of our concerns. We're more concerned with our own experiences and our own lives. Perhaps if we were more concerned, then we would be doing more to address climate change, for example.
There's an apocalyptic vision of Melbourne right at the end of your novel. It's 2018. So what then do you want to do as a fiction writer by imagining this version of the near future? Is it a warning? I mean, what is it you want to do as a writer with a vision like this?
I think it is a warning, and I think although the work of writing is a lot more introspective for me, at least, I was looking for an outlet, I suppose, to the anxieties that I felt but found hard to voice in any other way. You know, there's a part of the story where Luke, the environmentalist boyfriend of Laura, makes a crack at a dinner party, you know, when someone says, well, what should we do then? And he says, take my advice, get your own source of water and be prepared to defend it, or something like that. And I, you know, I've been known to say similarly potentially outrageous things at dinner parties myself, probably offending people. And that's not the right outlet, if you like, but exploring those kinds of anxieties, you know, what will we do in the future if we continue to experience very dry weather? Fiction is a wonderful way of kind of working through that. And so to some extent that's what I was doing, finding a way of exploring these ideas.
Sweet, lovely you. Sweet, lovely you.
Alice Robinson's Anchor Point is published by Affirm Press, and she was speaking there to Kate Evans. And the music you heard was from the Australian singer Sarah Humphreys, her new CD, New Moon.